Hello, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, depending on where or when you're listening to this. Welcome to another edition of Tackling Issues. Today, packing with me in the front row, as always, is Stuart and Jared, and we will get into our match day 23 of players not doing a World Cup.
Welcome again for the third edition of Tackling Issues. We've done well, 3 weeks constantly. Still, Jay is delaying us, but we
Trying
get in there,
hard.
we get
I'm trying hard.
we get in there. Let's kick it off. Jay, do you want to start us off this week? Last week, Stuart kicked us off.
Yeah, I can start us off. I couldn't find many other players to be fair. So the chap that I've gone with is Gethin Jenkins from Wales.
Okay, cool.
And
Stuart,
Stuart?
yeah.
I went with Kian Healy actually.
Kian Healy, okay, yeah.
Although Jenkins, good shot, very good shot. Stalwart for Wales. I do like him. I just thought Kian Healy played, I think, a bit longer at a slightly higher level.
Higher level? How?
Well, no, his performance on the field was a higher
Oh,
level.
okay.
In terms of
Not the
performance.
competition, because competition is the same. But
Yeah.
in terms of performance, yeah, just a better ball carrier, just a bit harder.
I've got him on my bench.
Yeah, see,
Okay.
mine's reversed.
And mine is reversed as well. Kian Healy starting for me. I
Okay.
agree with Stuart. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just that, that's just in terms of performance, it was just a higher level, not necessarily we played, but it was tough though. There was like almost nobody, but, or at least almost nobody that stood out. It's hard to pick players when. Because most of the time, when you pick players that you're looking for, you look at accolades, you look at what they've done with their careers and what they've won. And
Jenkins won 129 caps for Wales, man. He
yeah, no, he was
played for
absolutely,
British
he was.
Lions. He is brilliant. Kian Healy has had to fight very hard for his position in the last few years. But he's on form now, give him that.
Yeah, the World Cup was he was very good in the last World Cup.
Yeah, but there was another chap. There's another chap that plays for Ireland that was keeping him out. So I forget who. I forget his name
Jack
now.
McGrath.
What's his name?
Jack McGrath.
That's it. Yeah, you're right. That's
Yeah,
him.
he's solid, eh? He's a solid boy. Yes,
Solid
he's good.
player, yeah. It's been keeping him out for the last few years, so but yeah, they both great players. Funny how we couldn't pick up any Southern Hemisphere players.
No, well, they've all
That's
won
a
World Cups.
jab. That's a big jab there. That's a big jab towards the north.
Well, to be fair, there's going to be a lot of it going through this. I
I
don't
don't
know. At
know.
least
I've got quite a lot of Southern Hemisphere players on my team.
yeah. Actually, there was the Southern Hemisphere players that we got was that I
The
got at
whole
least
New Zealand back line.
yeah
Yeah.
was so easy. Was so easy.
The whole New Zealand back line from 95.
other than the years they actually won a World Cup.
Yeah, there's not many in that 95 team though that continued.
So number two, Stuart, do you want to kick us off with a hook? So we, I think Kian Healy, well, two out of the three picked him. So we go with him as our number one. Number two, Stuart, do you want to kick us off with a hooker?
I think this is quite easy. We discussed this dude in length last week, Keith Wood.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. I've got Keith Wood there.
I don't think.
Well, he was my number two. He was my number two last week in the world team. So definitely a starter, Keith Wood.
Yeah, no, 100%. I don't think there's anybody that comes close to rivaling him with somebody that doesn't want a World Cup.
Yeah, nobody stands up. At least for me. Not nobody that I can see. Unless you guys can think of any Aussies or
I got a good chap on my bench, but I'll wait till we get there.
Save it. I was thinking one of the Kiwis. They played for such a long time. But yes, did Mia Lamu win a World Cup?
Yeah.
I know he. I'll tell you who's on my bench. Anton Oliver.
Okay, ooh. So you did go with the Kiwi.
Yeah. It was either
I like Anton Oliver. He's solid.
It was him or was it Marius Ledesma? I think that's his name.
Yeah.
From Argentina.
Mario Ledesma, yeah. Flipping excellent, excellent hooker.
There's some good players, but I think Anton Oliver for me. But yeah. Stuart, why don't you kick us off with the tight head?
With the tight head, I went similar to last week. Love the guy, Carl Heyman.
Mm-hmm,
for me,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That
was a no-brainer.
That was another no-brainer. I think we looked at it to an extent. The other one would be an Owen Franks.
Owen Franks won a World Cup.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's what I said. The other one, if he didn't, he would be. From last week, he would slip
in. Yeah, you're in your team. Yeah, you said that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Carl Heyman was our number one last week on all time.
All time?
No, yeah. Yeah, he was. No, he was number two. Jason Leonard was number one. Carl Heyman was our backup of all time, so he's definitely the starter in the non-World Cup winning category.
Promotion. For the two front rowers.
Yeah, it looks like it.
It's going to go a little bit quicker in some positions, and I think it's going to get a little bit tough with certain positions. Jay, your first lock. This is going to be interesting, I think.
So I've gone with Elwyn Jones from Wales.
I thought it would be harder, but no, it isn't.
No, I think locks were done and dusted. I didn't even have to think. To be honest, about the
I'm
locks.
Pretty sure we're all going to go the same.
With the same pair as well, definitely. Yeah, my number four, Elwyn Jones as well. Excellent player. He's played, I don't know, for how long for Wales. Captain them, taken them to Grand Slams, Six Nations, everything. I think four and five were quite easy, in my opinion, but I'll let Mornay go with his four and then...
I've got a player that can play multiple positions, but I went O'Connell.
Okay, five. Yeah. Okay, and your four?
Owen Jones.
Yeah.
Okay, same. Yeah, no, standard. So I think everybody in the world would go Alan Wynne Jones and Paul O'Connell as their two locks for team that hasn't won a World Cup.
Did you guys go the exact same?
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And yeah, I'm thinking it was going to be a tough one, but nope.
No, that was not difficult at all.
Was it Jay? Well, Stuart, Jay, you did the last one. Stuart, your number six?
I want to say 6 per se, but I put him as he's a flank. He's in my team as a flank, and that's George Smith.
I thought George Smith won a World Cup.
No.
He didn't?
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't win a World Cup.
No, you're right, actually.
He started, I think he started with the Wallabies in 2000 and they won it in 99.
Yeah, he was just part of the era. It's gonna be.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think of that. Yeah, I would have had him at six. I went with Pocock, but I would swap him in Pocock. Yeah, Stuart's right. Yeah. Actually, he didn't play. Yeah, because they what Australia 99. Yeah, they won the last time.
Australia won in 99, and I think he made his debut in 2000.
Unlucky, man. Unlucky.
Yeah, super unlucky because he definitely deserved the World Cup. That guy was an absolute beast. I mean, he was our starting flank of all time.
I thought he won. The World Cup. That's what I didn't even think about him. Yeah, you're right.
For a guy of that stature not to have won a World Cup, that is a crime in itself.
You forget how young he is. That's the problem. Like, you've been around so long, you think he's been going and going.
Because, I mean, if you think about that 99 team, like, people that had, like, kind of just broken into it, like Larkham, I think only played like a year, like started a year as starting fly half because Liner was there for a long time. So Larkham like just crept in and, you know, players like Burke and Roth and whatever. Obviously George Cregan was there forever. But George Smith, I was quite shocked when I saw that as well. So that was a no brainer for me, but I was a little taken aback with him not have won a World Cup.
Cregan looked like he could still play. Just never ages.
Who did you go with, Morley?
George Smith, 100%.
Okay, good man.
And then my seven, I actually went with the two of them, Smith and Pocock.
And Pocock.
Okay.
I went Smith and Pocock. I just, as a pairing, I think last week I was talking about them, like the one British and Irish Lions game. Like one coming off, one coming on is already devastating in itself. And having the two of them start, I think both of them could switch between six and seven. I don't think they might. They preferred either or. But I went with the two of them, Pocock and Smith.
Interesting.
I went with my number seven, who also, because we play opposite to, South Africa plays opposite to the rest of the world. In jersey, so it's a bit confusing, but I went with Terry
Chatois.
Yeah,
me too.
He was World Player of the
Year. One of my favorite players.
So he's my number seven. Who's yours, Stuart?
Chatois, absolutely. Okay. He's one of my favorite players of all time. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
I mean, he absolutely dominated Richie in that, 2011 final, but the one before where they beat the New Zealand in the quarterfinals when New Zealand wore that bloody the gray jersey, and they said that they'll never wear a gray jersey again after they went. Yeah, he was an absolute.
No, I didn't mention Dussoutois last week, and I said like. He was maybe unlucky because he was awesome.
He was. So I did go to Sautoir for my seven.
So so Pocock loses out then.
Can you imagine Pocock losing out? But no, fair. If I think on the basis of what we are picking, I don't know. I feel like a little bit of sympathy should go to Sautoir and not just. This is sort of like I don't want to sound bad by saying like a second string team. But a lot of these people.
I don't know. Like this against a team that has won World Cups, that'd be a tough one.
It'd be a great game. Well, Keith would have to come off the bench for both teams. But, but no, I agree. It would be a tough game. I'm not saying like. Not to discredit any of these players, but
no, they're in countries that just unfortunately aren't as strong as like, well, I mean, the Southern Hemisphere countries have won what 8 out of the 9 World Cups. England dominated 2003, but other than France going to 4 finals,
well, I don't think they dominated. They were lucky with that drop kick. Australia could have snuck it.
They got the Grand Slam in 2003 and they won the World Cup. I mean, that's pretty dominating in a rugby sense. How you win a World Cup final, it doesn't really matter. You're the best in the world.
I see what you mean. They dominated the year because they even beat New Zealand in New Zealand.
They went into that World Cup like heavy favorites. Pumped.
They went pumped because the Grand Slam in that Feb March, they beat New Zealand in New Zealand in the June July, and then they won the World Cup in the later on in the year in Australia against Australia in the final in Australia. That's not easy to do, beating a home team in a final. That is not easy to do. The crowd is solidly behind you. And I know Australia, okay, rugby union is like their fourth favorite sport. But still, I mean, it's a World Cup final. The country's hosting it and you're in the final. Chances are you should win it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only country that's lost a home final, correct? We won in 95. New Zealand won in 2011.
I think it is.
And Australia hosted it in 2003, lost. England, who hosted in 99, didn't get to the final because it was Australia and France. Who hosted the first one? New Zealand, 87. New Zealand have hosted 2-1-2. We've hosted 1-1-1. So yeah, it's not easy beating somebody in the final if it's their home final.
Like taken away from what's currently going on, hopefully it will get better. But do you see us hosting another World Cup anytime soon? Well, I say anytime soon. Talk about the next
France 2023.
Yeah,
and then which we lost to France. For that bid in the final stages, we lost to France in the bid. So who knows? I mean, it's not like football World Cups where they do it like two World Cups sort of back to back. They decide the host nation. So I mean, depending on how this COVID thing's affected the rest of the world, who knows what's going to happen going forward with anything?
Yeah. So we stand a chance. That's what you're saying.
I think we stand a chance the next World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
With Russia involved and a lot of guys still young enough to continue, we've definitely got a good chance, man.
Did you say stand a chance of winning it or stand a chance of hosting it?
Better both.
Oh, I thought you were talking about hosting it.
Yeah, I was talking about hosting it, but winning it too.
Oh. Winning it, absolutely. Every World Cup we go into, I believe we can win.
Number 8. Who wants to do the number 8 spot? I think that's one of us also easier.
I can go. What? And I went with the Argentinian-born Italian stallion, Sergio Parise.
Yep. I didn't know he was born in Argentina. I went with him too.
Yeah, I was born in Argentina.
Oh, wow.
I actually thought he was Argentinian. No, I'm kidding. Sergio Parise. He was one of the first names. We spoke about him last week when you said, like...
Yeah, he's an absolute beast on the record.
He's world class.
I think, Jay, it was you that said, you can't fault him for playing for a country that hasn't done well.
No, you can't. There's quite a few of them, but yeah, he's world class, man. Unbelievable.
Look at every player on this list, bar probably Aussies and the Kiwis, and everybody's been sort of unfortunate to play in a country that hasn't succeeded at World Cup.
If he had played for Sarriga, he would have kept PSP out of the team.
Oh, PSP, Jay, didn't you watch the last podcast? I refused to put I'm gonna edit this out. I refuse to put pictures or anything of PSPs.
Go one eight, number nine.
I went with Justin Marshall.
Yeah, I went with Justin Marshall too. It was a tough one, but
I think I know who you're ooing for, and he's on my bench, I think. We'll see when we get there, but
well, let's see what Stuart's gone with, because he's definitely gone with someone different to us.
Yeah, Stuart? And I think I went with the guy that's on your bench, and that is Gus Pichot.
I think he was great, but I think I preferred Marshall. Marshall was solid, man.
I like Marshall.
All four of them were great. US, Gregan, Marshall and Pichot. They were brilliant.
Yeah,
Marshall is like, for me, he's like a little bit of a hybrid between TJ Perenara and Aaron Smith. He was a combination of the two. Like almost just, he had a little bit of both. Like he had that flair that TJ gives you. He's not afraid to run with the ball. And then
I've never seen a scrum off that wide in my life before.
No, he's a big boy. he's a big boy.
His size.
And he's actually he's a very good pundit and commentator as well, to be fair. Also, like the typical sort of Kiwi Aussie Oaks, they're very funny on and off the field. I just went with Pichot because I think he was in a very, very unlucky time.
Morning, did you also go with Pichot on the bench?
Yeah, I went with Pichot on the bench.
There's also some. He's obviously a bit younger, but there's also Will Guinea, man. He's also has won a World Cup.
Yeah, I thought.
I didn't even think of Guinea.
Yeah,
I did actually. I got Guinea down a special mention.
It's crazy, unbelievable, yeah.
There's quite a few scrum offs actually that were unlucky not to win a World Cup.
Think of Guinea, that's a good shot. That's a tough one.
It's a tough one, but he couldn't crack it. Those two were ahead in for me, Marshall and Pichot were brilliant, man.
Yeah. I love both of them. I got Marshall on my bench. I just felt like giving a nod to a RG or, you know, like something other than a bloody Kiwi that played in 95.
Fair enough.
All right.
Stuart, do you want to do the fly off then?
Jay can do fly off. I've done quite a few.
So
fly off for me out of this whole team has been one of the hardest selections to make. There's just so many great fly offs that they haven't won a World Cup.
Yeah.
And for me, I won't tell you all of them. I'll tell you mine and then we can discuss the remaining ones. But I've gone with Andrew Mertens.
Okay. Yeah. Good shot.
But there's numerous ones.
I went with Mertens. And you're right, Jay. It was a nightmare for me to pick.
Did you go Mertens as well?
I did. I did go Mertens, yeah.
Okay.
I went Mertens because him and Marshall played how many World Cups they couldn't win together, and they were so great for Crusaders.
Yeah. And... No, they were very good together. The 9-10 partnership that they had, both club and country, was phenomenal. And yeah, they were just in that unlucky sort of voodoo period for New Zealand rugby where they were always the best in the world. Even going into World Cups and just couldn't quite get over the line.
Exactly. What Mertens was, I don't know if Marshall was there in 95, but Mertens was obviously there in 95. But
Marshall was there in 95, yeah.
On the bench, I don't think he was.
Was he? I don't think so.
I don't think he was in the 95.
I think he came just after
96 or something, yeah.
Yeah, 96, 97.
Check that.
Who did you go with?
Okay. I went a bit of a wild card. I went with Fredrik Michalak.
Okay. Yeah. One of the players.
I just he was so exciting to watch, and
I just like, couldn't.
He
I couldn't
wasn't.
Fit him in.
He wasn't. He wasn't. He wasn't. I wouldn't say he was great, like compared to some of the players we talk about, and like, I mean, Mertens, like you said, Marshall and Mertens at the Crusaders and stuff like that. But I think everywhere where Michalak went, he went as a like a top player. He went as a high profile acquisition. When he came to the Sharks, it was a big thing.
He could play scrummy. He could play scrummy. He could play. Yeah, it was great, man. There's so many though. That's the thing. I tried to fit him in, and one time I had him in there, and then I keep thinking about other players, and then I had to withdraw him. But what? There's Matt Gitter. There's but obviously he plays 12 too. But then there's Jean Martin Hernandez from Argentina.
Solid.
Plays
Argentina.
10 or 12.
So good.
There's, I'll tell you my bench player. I ended up going with him on, I couldn't leave him out my 23. There's Carlos Spencer.
Carlos Spencer, yeah, no, me too. Also, when Carlos
I had to have him on my bench.
On the bench, yeah.
And I had Michalak trying, yeah, so it was hard. But obviously, Mertens kept Spencer out of that team for a long time, the All Blacks. So that's why I've gone that way around. But yeah.
I went with Mertens because he was born in South Africa.
Just because he was born in South Africa, that's why he went with.
Yeah, and his dad
I've got a photo
shots.
With him playing golf with you, Monet, actually. Me, yeah, you, no. and Mertens
that was
playing
a,
golf.
That was a great day.
It was.
Well, we didn't play. We watched him.
Well, yeah. Watched him play
but,
golf.
It was a great day. Got to meet a couple of the players we spoke about that day.
Yeah,
I've met most of these All Blacks in my team when they were playing in the Tri Nations. I met them in Durban.
Did hijack their bus or?
No, I heard they had a training session at George Campbell School near the beachfront in Durban, and I went down there. And then I got a photo. They were going to put me in the newspaper with Loma running behind me, but I don't know. They decided not to use me in the newspaper.
I never came out,
so I was really peed off, man. But no, I was young then. I must have been about 13, 14. Yeah, well, it was a good experience, man, meeting all those All Blacks training.
That's quite cool.
So, and ended up, that was the game where, that weekend, I'll never forget, that's the game where Tinus Delport scored that brilliant try. If you remember, we beat them
Delport.
In Joburg. We beat them like 40. We thrashed them. We thrashed them. We scored so many tries. I'll find you the link
to
that match and you'll remember it.
And then you were sitting there thinking, yeah, that's payback for not putting me in the newspapers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were too confident.
Yeah, way too confident. Not putting you in newspapers and stuff.
Cool. So should we skip number 11 and 13 again?
We're skipping that. 100% we're skipping it. I'm interested to see your 12th,
well,
though.
What we can say for 11 is, because I was watching some YouTube videos and I came across one where they had Haskell and Mark Tindall, they were naming some All Black squad, and they said straight away the world's best player ever, Jonah Loma.
Oh yeah.
So that was.
I think I've watched.
Mark,
I think
Mark
watched.
Did he start? Oh no, it was Cat that got smashed. I think Cat still wakes
Tindall,
up in the middle of the
I
night.
I don't think Tindall was in that squad.
No, he wasn't. No, no, Tindall was way after 95.
Yeah.
Tindall was part of the 99 squad.
The 2003 World Cup winning squad, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he was.
All right, well, 11 we can definitely skip over because that's going to be Jonah Lomu.
So who's your 12?
Me, my 12.
Well, any of you.
Well, Morning, you can go.
So my 12, I went with Jeremy Guscott. I didn't see much of him playing.
Jeremy Gasco.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually, you spoke about it. I had Matt Gitto at one point. I put him at 12. And then, but as kid, Gasco.
I wouldn't.
Sort of
I wouldn't
like
be able to
like
leave out
idol.
Gitto. Well, I have left Gitto, but I wouldn't have been well, able to. I wouldn't put. I wouldn't. Have, I wouldn't have put Gasco ahead of Gitto. I battled to leave Gitto out of my squad, but I ended up having to.
Yeah, I left him out of my squad, but only because I just love this player, and I think when I was a lighty watching this play rugby was just it was phenomenal, and it hurt me watching him play rugby because he was so good.
I was with the chiropractor. Oh, the chiropractor.
Yeah.
Wow. Ahead of your favorite player last week.
My favorite player last week.
Tana Umaga.
Yeah, but he misses out on my 15 this time.
Jeez, man. He was in your world team and he can't even make you. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, but like we all discussed it and I went with Tana Umaga just off the back of a biased selection. So I did substitute him this week off the back of very sound arguments from you and Mone last week about a certain individual. I liked Tadu at 12, but I just liked him more at 14, to be honest. And also I liked him more at 13 than 12. So I went with the chiropractor.
Okay. It was a good show.
Jay, who did you?
I went
go
with Umaga at 12. I had to fit him in there somewhere. To have him, to leave him out of this team would have been terrible. I couldn't, yeah. I don't know how Mone, I don't know how Stuart's left him out. But no.
I didn't like him at 12. I didn't, I mean, he played a handful of games at 12. He's not a great 12. He's a very good 13. He's an excellent 14. I just don't think he's a great 12.
I thought he played He played most of his career at 12.
No, I don't think so.
No, not you thinking of Ma'anu.
No, I know Ma'anu. Ma'anu played wing because Umaga was at 12. Nanu started his career at wing, and then moved into the centres. And it was only once Umaga sort of retired, then he stepped up.
Umaga played,
I'm pretty sure he played
most.
I'm pretty
of
sure
his
he played
career.
Most of his career in that 12 jersey, but I might be wrong.
No, 13 jersey.
I think
most
it was more
career.
13 and 14. Yeah. Might be. So 12 is
so who
the
played,
one.
So who
split.
Played 12 with him? Who was inside him for the All Blacks in all those years?
I was thinking Adam Major, but is that a bit? After him or before him? I just picture Adam.
No, I definitely say Major and him with the same era. Absolutely with the same era.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's between the two of them. I think
cool,
it's
cool.
I'll have to look back.
So we know number.
Look at.
We know number 13.
Yeah,
so
13.
Wait,
we don't
have
to discuss.
We haven't officially decided on 12.
All right, I'll go just because I actually can't leave him out my team. I just thought you guys were gonna rip me again this week, so I'll go Tano Umaga 12. Even though I don't like him at 12, I'll go with him at 12.
Tano Umaga.
Just so you have a number.
A number. I like it. Well, technically,
although
we could put Spisa at 11 if we want.
No, but you will give a special mention to the chiropractor. Do you know who the chiropractor is, Bore?
Brian Lima.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Do me a favor,
yeah.
Mone. Can you find the clip, the video clip or the picture for the podcast when he smashed Hochard? Derek Hochard.
Yeah, please.
yeah,
I'll do that.
I'll see if I can add that in.
And also, just for fun little clip on your... on your podcast, can you, when you put up a video or whatever of Marshall, who's clearly the number nine, can you do it when Bucky's rams his head into the back of Marshall's feet?
That wasn't Marshall.
Is that not Marshall?
No, that was Jimmy Cowan.
Jimmy Cowan?
That. Yeah, that was Jimmy Cowan. He did something to Bucky's earlier in another ruck.
And are Bucky's, you talking on the floor? Are you on talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Are you sure it wasn't Justin Marshall?
No, go Google it. Go check it up on YouTube. It's Jimmy Cowan.
Yes, as they look the same.
Yeah.
Blonde hair, small, stocky.
Brian Lee had some good hits.
Marshall would have been a lot more stronger. He would have been able to deal with Bucky's a little bit.
No way.
For a few more seconds.
I'm sorry. Nobody on the planet, if you are on the floor, and your face is away from Bucky's, there's nobody on the planet that would have been able to not take that headbutt.
Nobody's dealing with Bucky's.
Bucky's wouldn't have been able to take that headbutt from Bucky.
He would have. I think he would have got. He wouldn't have cried like a baby for so long.
Oh, it depends. It's Bucky's birthday, so.
All right. Well, 13. We could just name a name, but I mean, there's no discussion. Yeah, this is. I think the third discussion we're gonna have with this dude now.
Brian Driscoll, ever, without a doubt.
Yeah, there will be no one like what.
I don't know. We'll just put him in every single team. What are we doing for next week?
I would have loved to have seen Donny Haber in the same era, sort of playing against him.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think
a little bit before my time, but.
The video clips I've seen and the stories I've heard of Haber, he was brilliant. It would have been good to have seen him playing in our time and seeing how good he was. But that's the thing. Defenses are so much stronger, and look what Driscoll's been able to achieve.
Yeah. No,
in an Irish team that's never really been that strong in those years until near the end of his career, they started to really compete. But even him, he never beat the All Blacks.
No, never beat the All Blacks. But I mean, Ireland have only done it twice in their history, and that's recent years.
Cool. So
sad for him.
So Bod is the 13.
We just gonna give him a medal.
Morning, kick us off with the 14.
So I had two names at 14. One is for me is somebody we talked about last week, and the other one is a wild card who doesn't really play 14 but has played it week. And that's the Wesley Serebi from Fiji was the first one I had.
Mm-hmm.
I know he hasn't done a lot in 15s rugby, but in rugby in general, he's done a lot for rugby. But the 14 that I went with is Jeff Wilson.
Yep, I went with Jeff Wilson.
Jeffy boy.
And you, Mourner, as Drew?
Jeff Wilson. My whole backline is basically the 95 New Zealand team.
Yeah, Frank Bunce missed out just because of Brian O'Driscoll.
Yeah, no, Frank Bunce is never going to make my team with Brian O'Driscoll.
No, but Bunce was a 12.
Yeah, Walter Little was a 13.
Walter Little
was a 13. Frank Bunce was a 12. But neither of them are making my team with Brian O'Driscoll.
Exactly. But a mention has to go to Joe Rocococo.
Yeah. I did mention him earlier on as well.
But Wilson is just in another league.
Yeah. Also, a mention's got to go to Shane Williams.
I've got him on my bench covering the 23.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the number 15, I'm going to let you go with this again, Stuart. Number 15.
I'll be the best, my favorite player of all time, Christian Cullen.
Yep. Without a doubt, he's the best fullback, and he could have played a lot longer.
Yeah,
he went out on his own terms.
Yeah, I was, you know, like, it's not to sound bad or anything, but all the pictures and the videos I've seen of him, he doesn't look like a rugby player. Or is it just me that sees it like that? I don't know what you would class as a rugby player, but he just
I think
didn't
it's
look
just
it.
because, like, the videos that he's in, like, they used to wear jerseys, like, that, like, it would be one size jersey. So a prop would fit into it, and then the rest of the back line had to fit into the same size jersey.
Same
because
as,
they all look ridiculously big.
And
same
he,
as Timmy.
But he, I remember reading a story back when I was young in the U magazine, and it was a story on him where he used to bench, he was one of the strongest bench pressers in the All Black team. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, he was so strong. Yeah, I couldn't believe
what was
it.
What was he bench pressing
I
for?
I can't remember.
Did,
it was like over 140. It was over 140 or something.
Where did
then.
It go? Because he never looked big or anything.
Yeah, he was powerful.
Couldn't be.
That he was so quick, and his vision was so good, and you would just, his sidestep was phenomenal, his finishing was phenomenal. Like, he epitomized what a fullback was, like an extra, like a complete extra backline player.
Yeah. There was, I was watching a video when they were showing, it's kind of like players, like quickest players, and it's just like, it always, like the defenders always giving up. And like Christian Cullen was number, I think it was number two behind Julian Savea for some reason. But I think it's just more of the clips. But the video, it's just like three players were chasing him and they just stopped. It was about 40 meters to the line. They just stopped because they knew he's gone.
There's no point in carrying on. Yeah, I agree with that.
So, yeah, so our 15, Healy, Woods, Heyman, Alwyn Jones, O'Connell, Smith, Tussatoa, Parisi, Marshall, Mertens at 10, John Lomu at 11, Tano Umaga at 12, even though he's not a 12, Brian Driscoll at 13, Wilson at 14, and Cullen at 4. So any special mentions? We pretty much mentioned most of the special mentions. Guinea, Ghetto, the chiropractor.
Yeah.
I think special mention now goes to Harry Nordicki.
How did I forget about him?
Yeah, but hopefully Australia might win the World Cup next World Cup.
How
why would you say hopefully?
Why would you do that, Jay? Are you South African?
Well, I feel sorry for those boys, man. They've had such good players that have just never ever had a chance to win it. Like
you know what? I get what you're saying.
Drew Mitchell.
I don't want this Australian team to win the World Cup.
They won't win it, unfortunately. They got a bunch of shocking players.
Yeah.
Well,
other than Pocock, Harry Wilson,
Karevi.
Karevi's left. He's not playing in Australia. He's playing in Japan.
Yeah, he'll come back World Cup time. He'll play.
I doubt it.
Telling me he won't want to play.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Watch this space. When we look back and we're speaking on another podcast, I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell you guys. Remember on episode 3? I told you Karevi's coming back.
Special mention to, what's his name? Nemanja Nadolo.
Listen,
Nadolo.
The guy that's like 250 pounds that kicks for poles. Who does that?
Yeah, exactly.
Where did he play for? And did he play? Where did he play in the Super Rugby?
He played wing for Crusaders.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, Crusaders. Yeah.
Crusaders.
No,
yeah.
I know you played wing, but I just wanted to know where.
And his try that he scored in the opening game against England at the 2015 World Cup was a thing of beauty.
I got a question. Was rhymes with Nadolo? Naholo, did he win the World Cup in 2015? Was he part of the squad?
Who, Waisaki?
Yeah.
Waisaki
Naholo.
No, he
might have been injured.
He wasn't in that World Cup.
Oh, I can't believe I missed him.
He might have been injured.
Actually, he might have been in that World Cup squad. I think you're
he
right.
He been, I think he might have been in that World Cup squad. I'm just not sure.
I wouldn't
but
have,
he would have been.
I wouldn't have I been able to, I wouldn't have been able to choose him in this team that we've just done.
No, not ahead of Jeff Wilson, but a chance. No, it's, I don't think it's very few that will go.
He would have got a special mention. Jeffrey. The all-round sportsman. Jay, did you see my proof in the podcast?
Yeah. With who?
I put a certificate when I told you guys I won best sportsman. Playing all sports.
He plays cricket and rugby. He's just
what, if Odin Molin?
You bite your tongue.
So listen.
I'll show you my Victor Adorum.
I'll get that. What is going to be on our agenda for next week?
So my thoughts were, but it's up to you guys to, and you've just mentioned Karevi, would be to choose our best team, our best 23 that's currently playing. They're currently playing professional rugby still.
Ooh.
So now, okay. So a lot of these guys we selecting are guys that have retired already, but let's look at a team that your best team that's playing rugby. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see our teams because it's literally from all over, and then any can play.
I'll just tell you mine now. 1-23. Boden Barrett.
Interesting to see where we're going to put Boden Barrett in all our teams. That's fine.
Well, there's only one place to put Boden Barrett. I'm not Steve Stupid Hansen that's going to play him out of position.
No, we know. Boden Barrett has to play 10.
Yeah, it's no question.
Anyway, boys.
Cool, man. Thanks, guys.
It's been a pleasure. I enjoyed this one. And looking forward to next week. I think it's going to be very, very colorful.
Yeah.
Thank you.